Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. For several years, November has been designated as National Caregiver Awareness Month, a time when we recognize people caring for family members with chronic illness. Today, we will bring you the story of one young Tulsan, Jeremiah Watts Jr., who was diagnosed at 2 months of age with sickle cell disease. He's now 16 years old. My guests today are his parents, Velvet Brown Watts and Jeremiah Watts Sr., whose lives were changed by their son's diagnosis. They've become not only his advocates, but advocates for all Oklahomans affected by sickle cell disease, both patients and their families. Founded in 2007, their nonprofit 501c3 organization is called Supporters of Families with Sickle Cell Disease, spreading their mission of caregiving to those affected by the condition. Today we'll talk about their perspective on caring for their son, including the impacts of his illness and a new treatment that he appears to be benefiting from. We'll also discuss how he's staying safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. Velvet Brown Watts and Jeremiah Watts Sr., founder, chair, and health education instructor, respectively, of Supporters of Families with Sickle Cell Disease, are my guests today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Velvet Brown Watts and Jeremiah Watts Sr., welcome to Medical Monday. I'd like to start by having you just share with us what National Caregiver Month is all about and what it means to the both of you.
So National Caregiver Month is really a month where we recognize those who are caregiving for people who have different types of disorders and maybe diseases. Particularly for us, we represent caregivers within the sickle cell community. And so we're really excited to be here, and we want to thank you for having us.
Certainly. Well, tell our listeners about your caregiving roles. That is, who do you provide care for, and I guess how long have you been doing it, and those kinds of things.
We provide caregiving to our son. 16 years ago, he was diagnosed with sickle cell disease. And so we've been on this journey for 16 years caring for our son. And I guess you can say also with the organization that we have, we do caregiving for just sickle cell clients, period, throughout the state of Oklahoma.
And now your son is, as you said, he's 16 years old, Jeremiah Jr. And as I understand, he's in the 10th grade in the Union Public School District. But I guess he's doing, like a lot of kids are doing, the online school this year, given the pandemic. Did you know at birth that he was diagnosed with sickle cell disease?
No, we did not know. For us, when Jeremiah was born, they do the newborn screening test to all the newborns in the hospital. And we found out probably 2 months after that test was actually done.
Why do you think, or do you know, if you know, why was there such a delay in finding out the results?
Well, from the way that I understand, is that these tests are done, of course, on all newborns born in Oklahoma. They've been doing it now since 1990, and it goes to the state lab. And that process at the state lab, and then the information is then sent back out to the parents, the pediatrician, and at the time, it was the sickle cell clinic in Oklahoma City.
Now, did he have, I hate hearing that there was a delay in your getting results about his newborn screen. Did that adversely affect his health as far as you know?
Within that time period, no. For us, sickle cell disease, for individuals who are born with it at birth, they don't normally start showing signs until about 6 months. They have their fetal hemoglobin. And so we didn't see any signs from the time he was born to maybe the time he received the paper in the mail letting us know that we needed to have a confirmatory test. He needed to be retested because his hemoglobin was abnormal.
Okay. And at that point, you were informed. And so I guess, did you take him to the doctor and get the hemoglobin retested?
Yes. So when we first received the test result, it tells you that he needs to be a confirmatory test within 6 months, that your child's hemoglobin has been diagnosed as abnormal, and in 6 months go back. Of course, we went back when we got the test to the doctor. We did do a confirmatory test at 6 months, and the test did then come back afterwards that it was, yes, he had a sickle cell disease, and it was not the trait.
Okay, so at that point, how did you feel hearing that news, and did you know exactly what that would entail?
So for me, I was devastated, just to be frank with you. My mother is a nurse. I am originally from Chicago, and I came to Oklahoma to go to school. So I've known since I was 5 years old that I had sickle cell trait. And so all my mother would ever say is never, ever marry anyone with sickle cell trait. She really didn't explain the consequences of trait to me. And so when we received the news and the diagnosis, then you have to go in and spend time with what they call the sickle cell team here in Tulsa. It was at the Warren Clinic Hematology Oncology. And you spend about 2 hours. And at that time, you take everyone who is ever going to maybe care for your child. And I think for those 2 hours, I spent crying because I didn't really understand the, I don't want to say consequences, not necessarily consequences, but the diagnosis. The diagnosis and what it all would in detail and how much of your life actually changes. And so we didn't know right then and there the impact it will have to our life, probably until the first 12 months after the diagnosis, we begin to understand.
Okay, so let's pause here for a second, because I know many of our listeners will know pretty well what sickle cell anemia, sickle cell disease is, but there are many who probably don't. Now, Velvet, you mentioned sickle cell trait. I was wondering, you've probably had to explain this dozens of times, maybe hundreds in your life. Would you give a good general appraisal of what sickle cell trait and what leads to sickle cell disease are, if you can?
So the way that I try to explain sickle cell disease just generally is that sickle cell disease is an inherited genetic blood disease. And in order for anyone to inherit sickle cell disease, they must have two parents who carry the genetic marker, which is the trait. And they have a 1 in 4 chances each pregnancy of having someone inherit sickle cell disease. I explained to them that the disease is oxygen depriving. It impacts your red hemoglobin, which carries oxygen throughout the body. And so I really try to let them know that it is really a chronic, lifelong, catastrophic disorder. And it does change the core of a person's family, because it can be really devastating to deal with the major complications of sickle cell, whether that's stroke or whether that's having issues with organ damage and failure, your kidneys or your lungs, things of that nature. And so I really try to let people know that the disease itself causes so many complications with your organs and your body, including your mind, that you just have to really build yourself a good support system.
Well, you explained that very well. And I wanted to ask Jeremiah Watts Sr., did you also know that you had sickle cell trait when you became a father, or is that when you found out?
No, I did not know. My brother had a trait, but he was tested when he went to the service. I sort of remember someone mentioning about trait, but as far as deep details or anything about that, I did not know anything about it. And so when Velvet called me, I used to drive a school bus, and I was sitting on my school bus waiting for the children to come out. I can remember the day, what kind of day it was, where I was sitting, everything, and I didn't really think it was a big deal. I was wondering, why is she upset? Why is she making such a big deal of this? It's something that, hey, it is what it is. We can go through it. We get past it. It'll be okay. We move on. Little did I know, it's not just that simple. And that's what I found out and what we found out through this process, that it's not just that simple, and it has affected and it can alter your life in an instant.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. And my guests today are parents, Jeremiah Watts Sr. and Velvet Brown Watts. They're parents of Jeremiah Watts Jr., who has sickle cell disease. And we're talking to them as part of National Caregiver Awareness Month, because they are caregivers for their son who has sickle cell disease. And as we've heard, they both had sickle cell trait, and that is a genetic condition where they have, in genetic terms, one allele. They each have the trait, which can have some manifestations, but mostly people with trait, and I guess I want to hear from you guys, can go through life normally. But as Velvet told us, there's a 1 in 4 chance. So if, for example, a child is born and gets the recessive gene, as it were, from both parents, not the heterozygous or not the so-called normal or wild-type gene, then they'll wind up with sickle cell disease. And so to the extent that you guys are comfortable, and this obviously health information is private, but I know you are both advocates and have even formed an organization around this, so we're going to ask you about that too. But is Jeremiah Jr., what kinds of health challenges has he faced with sickle cell disease throughout his 16 years? And again, you can talk in general terms, or if you prefer not to, of course, that's fine as well.
Well, no, we don't mind sharing our story. We think that's the most powerful thing a person can do. So when someone asked me, well, you know, how's Jeremiah? I said, we are thriving. When Jeremiah was born, we had a lot of different complications. The first year of life, we were in and out the hospital at least 12 times. Jeremiah has suffered 5 pneumonias. His last pneumonia, I guess 5 major pneumonias. The 5th pneumonia, he had double infiltrates in his lungs. And that caused some lung scarring, and so now he's on oxygen at night. He's had issues cognitively. He's been hypoxic, so meaning he doesn't get enough oxygen to his system, thus his brain. And so he has some cognitive delays and some executive functioning deficiencies that we're working through currently. And Jeremiah was not just born with sickle cell. That was kind of like his second diagnosis. His first one was the multidysplastic kidney, meaning he only has one. And currently, that one is leaking some protein. And so we know sickle cell disease impacts kidneys. And so there's been some challenges. And I always tell people, you know, perspective is everything. And so you have to stay positive and you have to have hope. And so with any thing that we go through, we believe that it's a journey. And so sickle cell is a journey, and we believe that you have to educate yourself. And so we've educated ourselves about the disease, but also about the complications and what it can do to the body. And so for us, you know, we try to remain as calm as possible. And, you know, our faith plays a huge part in that. And we try to make sure that he's being treated by knowledgeable physicians of both whatever the organ we're dealing with and sickle cell, because they play a role together. And so we've had some complications, and we are just taking them day by day, step by step, and doing the very best we can to have the best health outcomes possible.
So one of the things I'm wondering, there have been some new medications over, for example, my medical career that have come into use for patients with sickle cell disease, and they have helped in some ways lessen the severity of some of the symptoms. For example, there's a drug called hydroxyurea, which is different than the hydroxychloroquine that got talked about so much for the pandemic. But what that drug does is it actually pushes the hemoglobin more to the fetal form of hemoglobin, which is better at carrying oxygen than the hemoglobin in sickle cell disease. What happens with the sickling hemoglobin is it forces the red blood cells, which carry oxygen, to bend, and they become sickle-shaped, and that's where the condition got its name. And as Velvet pointed out, they don't carry oxygen as well. They don't bind oxygen as well. And it leads to what's called local tissue hypoxia, too, low oxygen at the tissue level. But even also, it's thought, and we don't totally understand this, that there is the condition of vaso-occlusive crises. This is where it's thought that blood vessels sort of get gummed up with these sickle-shaped cells and cause local tissue injury and results in huge, severe pain that many patients with sickle cell disease get. And is that something that Jeremiah Jr. has had to deal with?
Yes. Jeremiah has had pain crises in the past, and they have been very severe. One story I'll tell someone is that I never thought I would see my son frail around like a fish out of water. I can remember this one night. We had a pain crisis in the middle of the night and had to go to the hospital. And we were working with the team to try to find the best pain medication that would reduce the pain. And we ended up having to really engage with others within the hospital, the different supervisors, to try to bring in the best plan. And so Jeremiah has experienced pain crises. He's experienced several different types of complications with sickle cell. And so we know that there are new treatments that are coming down the pipeline. We know hydroxyurea has been around a very, very long time. And within the last couple of years, there's been several new treatments that have come out. And one of the ones that Jeremiah is currently on is the Oxbryta. And so we're really excited about the new treatment options that are coming out for individuals living with sickle cell.
Have you seen measurable results in terms of fewer hospitalizations for him or fewer complications with the new medicine?
So Jeremiah is recently on it. He's been on it probably going on 90 days, maybe 120, and we have seen where his hemoglobin is going up. We've seen the hemolysis come down. I know Jeremiah can share some of the things he's told his dad about the medication. One of the reasons that we chose Oxbryta was because we wanted to pick something that really did target the root cause of sickle cell and stop the pulmonization of the cells. And so we felt like that particular drug was a good fit for him, and he's been doing pretty well so far on it. The hemoglobin is moving up slowly, but at a good pace from where we can see from where he was. And so we are just encouraged and hopeful that this will be a therapy that would help him.
You mentioned a couple of things there that you're familiar with that I thought would be good to explain. So hemolyzing or hemolysis is when red blood cells just break apart. And in the sickle cell condition, that happens more frequently because of their aberrant shape. And so as a result of that frequent hemolysis and what's called rapid cell turnover, patients with sickle cell disease they wind up with lower hemoglobin counts than is normal or average. And so that's where they wind up with that lower oxygenation level. And so medications that can promote or improve the blood hemoglobin level is an improvement. Now, for many decades, the standard of care for patients with sickle cell disease was blood transfusion. We just simply try to type match their blood and give them extra red blood cells to try to combat all of the consequences of that. Did Jeremiah Jr. wind up having to have blood transfusions as well?
No, Jeremiah has never had a blood transfusion. We've always been a stickler on trying to make sure that his bone marrow continued to work. And so we always wanted his body to have a chance and the opportunity to work and build his blood back up on its own. So because Jeremiah only has one kidney, we try our hardest not to ever have to do a blood transfusion because we don't want him to get a lot of the antibodies and different things in his system that will keep him from ever having to be able to get a kidney transplant if it ever comes to that situation because of the one kidney. So he's never had a blood transfusion. Every time his blood even got low, his bone marrow kicked back in, and it improved and came back up. And so that's what we've always tried to do when it came to him.
That is great to hear, because you nailed it, that, you know, blood transfusions are great short-term therapy, but they have lots of long-term consequences, including they cause antibody formation. And so, as you point out, it would make transplanting a kidney darn near impossible. So you have, it sounds like, been getting very astute advice. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. And my guests today are Velvet Brown Watts and Jeremiah Watts Sr., who are the parents of a 16-year-old son with sickle cell disease. And we're talking about that in awareness of National Caregiver Awareness Month. And Velvet Brown Watts and Jeremiah Watts are the founders of the organization, a 501c3 called Supporters of Families with Sickle Cell Disease. And you can learn more about their nonprofit organization at sicklecelloklahoma.org. You can learn more about the condition. You can learn more about them and gather more awareness. Now, when did you found the organization?
So the organization was founded in 2007. In 2010, we became a part of the Center of Contact for those needing community-based services. We wanted to just make sure there was something for patients, parents, caregivers, the community, and even those medical professionals and clinicians. And we wanted to make sure that there was a resource in the community that would be able to partner with whatever medical institution, facility, to build a wraparound care for patients and families living with sickle cell.
And so it's been around, you said, for 13 or 14 years. And has the organization grown, or like what are your plans going forward?
Oh yes, we have truly grown since we started. We started out just as a little support group. I tell people that we started out just as a little support group. It was nothing but our families and the patients, and we've grown to where we are now contracted with the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority to provide community-based services throughout the state. We also are the state lead for the HRSA Newborn Screening Program through the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America. We represent as the Oklahoma branch for the national organization. And so we have grown by leaps and bounds through the support of those on the board and the advisory committee and supporters within the community, and most importantly, the patients and the families. It's a true honor to just be able to serve our community. I tell people that I have a dual perspective because I'm a medical social worker. So I have an honor to have this perspective of being a parent and being someone in a helping profession. And so it's been a real honor to be able to do that. Going forward, our plan is to create a spokes and hub model for the state of Oklahoma. We've seen it work well in other states around the sickle cell community, and we want to be able to twin it and adapt it to our Oklahoma sickle cell community.
That's really wonderful to hear. And since you're contracted with the healthcare authority, does your organization, Supporters of Families with Sickle Cell Disease, wind up being made aware of all the children that are in Oklahoma who have a positive newborn screen? Or is it more of a voluntary where families or patients or their parents, would contact you?
So it's more of a voluntary. Now, the way that the newborn screening works, because all health information, of course, is HIPAA information, what the state does is that they will send out our brochure with any positive tests. And if a parent chooses to, they can contact us. And that's with the Oklahoma State Department of Health. working with the healthcare authority, they send us different referrals for people who may be impacted by sickle cell. And so it's not children, it's also adults. And so the goal really is for people to know that you're not alone and there's hope. And there are resources that can help improve your quality of life.
Well, you have such a positive message. It's just so nice to hear. I wanted to ask both of you, I guess, about the COVID-19 pandemic. It seems like we have to ask everybody, but I mean, in a sense, Jeremiah Jr. is immune compromised by virtue of the fact that he has a chronic health condition. And as you mentioned, you know, a kidney problem on top of that. So how has the pandemic altered your family's lifestyle or his life or your own lives? Because, you know, this is something that we're all at risk for.
With us, it's been more of a challenge during the summer months than it might be since we're just now getting into the winter months dealing with COVID-19. Normally, we're in the house quite a bit because of the winter and what goes on winter and the flu season and everything. So normally, we're in the house a little bit more. But because of COVID-19, a lot of things has adjusted as far as virtual learning for him, not allowing him to be in the school because of COVID-19, because we want to keep him safe because he is immune compromised. A lot of things, we might not go certain places because of the COVID-19, and we don't want him to catch anything. We're very particular about where he goes and who he's around and what he does. And that's even with family members, going all the way to friends and just going to restaurants. We haven't really been into a sit-down restaurant and going on since March. We haven't really been into a sit-down restaurant. So it's been an adjustment. We haven't been to the movies. We haven't been to a lot of things that we normally do. And as a 16-year-old, you can imagine how he's feeling. Feeling like he's cooped up in the house and on lockdown and can't do anything and can't go anywhere. And it's like their freedom is taken away from them. And so it's been a real adjustment with him, because we do have to think more than just about what we want to do. We have to think about his health in a whole.
Well, Jeremiah and Velvet Brown Watts, I want to thank both of you for your time today. You have taught me and our listeners a great deal about what it's like living with a child and caregiving for a child with sickle cell disease. And congratulations to both of you on turning what could have been, has been such a set of challenges into something that's very positive and spreading such a positive message around Tulsa and all of Oklahoma. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having us. We really do appreciate it.
Velvet Brown Watts is the founder and chair, and Jeremiah Watts Sr. is the director and health education counselor of Supporters of Families with Sickle Cell Disease. You can learn more about the organization at sicklecelloklahoma.org. We spoke to them as part of National Caregiver Awareness Month, which occurs every November. Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening, and please stay safe out there.